ayé mi.
I will be done.
Ife ti re ni ki a se.
Is anybody like that here?
Yari eni be ni.
Let me hear you say it loud and clear.
Ife ko so lokoro.
That every one of you, from now on, you will begin to excel.
Amen.
Who is the one fellow that you will stand beside him or her and say, you are the one who will get my attention?
Anointing allows you to enter into overflowing blessings.
Redemption Way.
The Lord is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
Welcome you especially to the Open Heavens International Center. I tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. You're watching Redemption Way.
Worship the King of Kings. Lift your voice to him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you appreciate him. Praise him for all that he has done for you. Give him glory. Give him honor. Give him adoration. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be adored. There's no one like him. Worship the Ancient of Days. Worship the Rock of Ages. Worship the beginning and the ending. Worship him for what he has done for this ministry thus far. Bless him for what he has done for you as an individual thus far. Give him glory, give him honor, give him adoration. He's worthy to be praised. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we worship.
Amen.
We are serving the God of miracles. I know. Yes, I know. We are serving the God of miracles. I know. Yes, I know. Hallelujah. Eternal Rock of Ages, we bless your name. Alpha and Omega, we worship you. The unchangeable changer, we bow before you. The builder of the temple, the great provider, our source, our judge, our joy, our hope. Glory be to your holy name, Lord. Accept our worship in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, thank you for what you have done for this ministry. In 7 short years, thus far you have helped us. Please accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
My Father and my God, it is to you we are dedicating this building today. And we are saying that beginning from this moment, this place will become a miracle center. From now on, every sinner that comes here to worship, save such a sinner. If the sick comes here to worship, let the sick be healed instantly. If the captive should worship here, let the captive be set free immediately. If the barren comes here to worship, let the barren become fruitful. When the poor comes here to worship, let the poor begin to prosper. Any failure who comes here to worship, let the failure begin to succeed. Every prayer prayed here, from today onward, answer by fire. And Father, let the miracles begin now. Everybody here today, Father, I pray that they will go home with a dedication miracle in Jesus. I pray, Lord God Almighty, that nobody will leave here today without a testimony. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that from here, a mighty revival will break out in Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God. Even as we dedicate this temple to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. I want you to shake hands with 2 or 3 people and tell them, because Jesus reigns, all is well. And God bless you. You may then be seated. Psalm 127 verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. This passage tells us something straight away. That God is a builder. Because he says, except the Lord builds. That means he must be a builder. He said, except God builds, they labor in vain, that builds it. He builds houses, for example. It's God who built this one, not man. Exodus chapter 1, verse 21, Exodus 1:21 says, because the midwives in Egypt feared the Lord, he built houses for them. I am believing God for those of you who are here today who are tenants. Very soon you'll be landlords. He's the only one who can build a house. There's no use trying to build a house unless God is helping you. Because in John 15 verse 5, it tells us that without him we can do nothing. You may have all the money in the world. You might never build a house. In the village where I came from, one very wealthy man took over a land that didn't belong to him. The owner of the land was a very poor man. And the poor man knew that if he went to court, he would be wasting his time. So this was years ago, more than 60 years ago. So he decided to use what he had. This wealthy man will lay the foundation of the house, he will build it, he will roof it. The night after it has been roofed, this poor man will go there and hide something under the building, and by the following morning there will be a crack from the top to bottom. So they will have to pull down the house. But the man is rich, so he pulled down the house, started building again. The poor man will wait till the roof, and then he will put whatever it is he was putting, and the crack hook. Up to today, more than 60 years later, that land is still vacant in my town. It is one thing to lay the foundation. It's another thing to finish the building. And then even when you finish the building, it's another thing to live in it. So God is the builder. He builds houses. And we need his help before we can do anything. In Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. When God is helping you, you can do all things. If it's not, you'll be wasting your time. Now, what are the things that our God builds? Because he's a builder. He doesn't just build houses, he builds marriages. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, Genesis 2 verse 18, it is our God who said it is not good that man should be alone. He said that we find a help meet for him. Marriage is his idea. He loves marriage so much that on the last day, there's going to be a mighty wedding between Jesus Christ himself and the bride of Christ, his members of his church, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 6 to 7. Revelation 19, 6 to 7 tells us that there's going to be a lot of rejoicing in heaven. There'll be a lot of shouting of hallelujah because the wedding of the Lamb has come. When that day comes, I pray that you will be part of the bride. Amen. And that's why I have good news for those who are trusting God for partners here today. That as the Lord lives, before the end of the year, the wedding bell will ring. He doesn't just build houses, he builds marriages. Because of what use is a house if we don't have families living in it? It is when a house has a family living in it, that it becomes a home. Now, it doesn't just build houses and build marriages. It builds families. In other words, it doesn't want you to just marry. It wants you to have children. In Matthew 6 verse 9, when the Lord was teaching the disciples to pray, he made it clear to us that God is a family man. He said, when you want to pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven. He could easily have said, you should say, our God. But he said, our Father. As a matter of fact, the Bible shows us that he loves children.
Jesus, the Son of God, I believe.
Somebody shout hallelujah. Oh, oh, oh.
And I welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. Tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. You're watching Redemption Way.
As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that the reason he gave us Jesus Christ, the reason he sold Jesus Christ, the reason he allowed Jesus Christ to die, is so that he can become the firstborn of many brethren, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans 8, 29 says, God has just one begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, but he wanted more children. And so he decided to apply the law of harvest. Whatever you sow, you reap. And the harvest is always more than the seed. So he sowed Jesus Christ, and then all children who are formed after that manner of Jesus Christ will become fellow brethren with him. As a matter of fact, the Bible says he loved children so much that if there is the need, he could even create children out of stones. Matthew 3 verse 9 says, if God wants, he can ask stones to produce children. And in Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, Genesis 18, verse 9 to 14, this is why he decided that even though Abraham was 90 and Sarah was 90, Abraham was 100 and Sarah was 90, he said, I'm not going to allow you to die barren. Because he made a promise that there will be none of his people who will be barren, whether male or female. So I have good news for those of you who might be trusting God for the fruit of the womb. As the Lord lives, in less than 1 year from today, you will come rejoicing with your own children. I want you to mark my word. A year from today, when the pastor calls those who are just having babies for the first time to come forward, this place will be full of children. So he builds houses. He builds marriages, he builds families, but it doesn't stop there, he builds businesses. Because what is the use of a father who cannot feed his family? What is the use of a family if they don't even have food to eat? So he builds businesses because God himself is a businessman. Matthew 25 verse 14 to 27. Matthew 25 verse 14 to 27 is the story of talents that you read. The Almighty God expects multiplication. He gives somebody two, that two should become four. He gives somebody five, the five should become ten. When the fellow who had one, didn't use the one, came to him, he said, at least you could have put my money in the bank and there would have been an interest on it. That tells you God is involved in business. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 7, Luke 5, verse 1 to 7, the Bible tells us the story of a fisherman who fished all night and caught nothing. The moment God entered into his boat, everything changed. He threw just one net, and he caught so much fish that two boats began to sink because they were overflowing. I want to assure somebody here today that simply because you came for this dedication service, your business will have a turnaround. I've always told these stories because I found it very encouraging. One of my sons had been coming to me and saying, Father, please pray for me. My business is not doing well. I have nothing. I want to do the work of God. And I know there are many people here who want to do the work of God too. So I kept on praying. Then one day he wrote and said, finally God has answered your prayers. They have given me a contract for 50 million naira. I just laughed because, I knew him. I thought maybe he didn't know how to read correctly. Maybe they gave him a contract for 500,000. And you know, when they write figures, they will put 0.00 at the end of the... I thought maybe he just joined all the zeros together. Because how do they just give you a contract for 50 million when you have not, you've never done a contract for 1 million? But then at the end of the month he came and said, Daddy, I've already paid my tithe, but because you are the one who prayed, I want to bless you too. And he gave me a draft for 5 million. It is true, you got it. I said, I got it. So I prayed for him, and as usual I said, okay, next time we'll be better and bigger. And then the governor who gave him the contract went to inspect the work. Number one, he finished in record time. Number two, maybe because he doesn't know the method they use yet, he did a very good job. And so the governor said, you are the kind of person I've been looking for. He said, follow me home. Follow me to the office. So he followed him to the office, and he gave him a contract for 4 billion naira. I was telling a story not too long ago. I said, some time ago I was traveling from London to Lagos. And I saw him in the first class section of the aircraft. I looked at him, he looked at me. And we began to laugh because I saw that level has changed. There is somebody here today. Your level will change today. So he builds houses, he builds marriages, he builds families, he builds businesses, and of course he builds churches. In Matthew 16 verse 18, Matthew 16 verse 18, he made a promise. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Thank God for what God is doing here. I was greatly moved when I heard that this ministry is only 7 years old. And not only do we have this beautiful edifice here, we already have pastors in Abuja, we have pastors somewhere else and other places. The work of God is already started, and it will not stop. He loves to build churches because he is the head of the church, according to Ephesians 5, verse 23 to 25. Ephesians 5, 23 to 25. The Bible tells us that he loves the church so much that he gave himself for it. So I can assure our pastor that in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, this is just the beginning. Yes. Very, very soon, even on a monthly basis, you'll be dedicating churches. Yes. And as you are building them, they'll be overflowing with people. Yes. And then he builds people.
You're watching Redemption Way.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
And I welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. Tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
You're watching Redemption Way.
He loves to beat people. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 9 says, you are God's building. Because of what use is a church building if there are no people to fill it? And when he brings people into his church, he begins to build them up. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 8 says he can pick up a beggar from the dunghill and begin to build him up until he begins to sit among princes. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 11 to 13. 1 Samuel 16 verse 11 to 13. The Bible gives us a classical example of how God can build up people. It said that the prophet of God had come to appoint a king in the house of Jesse. Jesse had presented his seven big boys, and God said, none of this is to be the king. And then the prophet asked Jesse, don't you have any other son? And Jesse said, so reluctantly, there's one more, but he's not the kind that can be a king. He's only fit for being a shepherd. You know, I didn't bring him because he's... it's not worthy to be considered. It was because the father was so reluctant that the man of God said, we will not sit down until you bring him. Do you know that when your day comes, people will not be able to sit down until God has made you what he wants to make you? I've told the story before. We went to Kenya one day. We wanted to start our church there. And I decided to visit the head of state there. Somehow, we got an appointment for Monday morning. And Monday morning was when they normally had their cabinet meeting. And so I thought I would just go in, pray for the president, and come out very quickly. But whenever these high-up people, when they see somebody they feel they can trust, they begin to open up. So we were there with him, drinking tea, and he was the one doing most of the talking, telling the various areas where he needs help. Meantime, the cabinet ministers were waiting. After some time, one of them asked the other, who is this fellow who is delaying us? Who is this fellow holding the president? And they said, it's one pastor from Nigeria. He said, pastor, it's not even a bishop. When I came and they told me, I said, well, that shows you how God can build up people. Because I come from a village that is not on the map of Nigeria. My father is so poor, poor people called him poor. How can the son of somebody that nobody wanted to hear his name now become somebody who can keep the president busy for 2 hours? I prophesy to someone here today. Nobody knows you yet, but before you die, you will reach the top. Now, not only does he build, he's also an architect. He doesn't just build without a plan. If you read Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10, Hebrews 11 verse 10, the Bible tells us that our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the pilgrims of old, he said they were looking for a city whose maker and builder is God. The maker there means architect, the one who designed the building before he begins to build. God is a designer, is an architect. And he says in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 4 to 5, Jeremiah 1, 4 to 5, he said to Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee, I knew thee. In other words, before I began to put you together, I already had a plan. He said, when you were in your mother's womb, I have already anointed you, I have already sanctified you, I have already set you apart to be a prophet to the nations. Do you know that long before your father met your mother, God has concluded his plan for your life? And it's a very good plan. In Jeremiah 29 verse 11, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, he said, I know the thought that I think towards you, thoughts of good and not of evil, that you may have an expected end. In other words, he said, I have a plan for your life. It's a good plan, and I want you to end well. He is an architect. And whatever he decides to do, he will do. There may be delays. It may look as if you are not going to reach where he said you are going to reach, but the devil is a liar. Whatever God has for your life, that's what will happen. Amen. Sooner or later. I've shared this testimony before. 1951, you will know how young I must be in 1951. At that time, my village was if it is not on the map now, then you know it is not on anything then. It was very, very backward. In those days, only two lorries came to our village a day. And one is a Bedford, one is an Austin. Those who are old now will know what we are talking about. And in my village, I can count the number of people who had shoes of any type. In those days, there were five in number. KBAC had one. The headmaster had one. I think the catechist, who was in charge of the little church there, he also had one. I think there are two others who had shoes. And then the bishop, the Anglican bishop of the entire diocese. At that time, the entire Anglican diocese in the West was based in Ibadan. Only one bishop. So that bishop just decided, for one reason or the other, to visit my little village. And he came in a car. And I've not seen a car before. Beautiful car, black, shining. And he came in his bishop's robe. And you know how beautiful the bishop's robe can be. And his shoes were shining. And we, primary school children, we were asked to line the route for him to sing as he was coming. The hunters in the village didn't go to the farm. They were shooting their ding guns to give him gun salute. And when it was time for him to leave, every villager was bringing everything. Chicken, goats, yams. I saw everything. My mouth was wide open. When I got home that day, I told my mother, I said, I'm going to be a bishop. Years passed. I left home got to secondary school, got to university, forgot everything about church, was just moving around, doing my own thing, singing like nobody's business. But somewhere along the line, the Lord met me and saved my soul. Then came 1981, 30 years later, I became general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, and I decided to visit my village. We had a little church there, a Redeemed Church there. So, and I went in my new car, my shoes were well polished. When I got to the village, the school's children lined the route. The hunters were shooting into the air. And then I remembered what happened 30 years before. And I'm prophesying to somebody here today, that plan of God for your life shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Let me conclude by saying this. God wants to build you up. He wants to make you great. He doesn't get any glory if any of his children should be a failure. The glory of God is to see that his children are great, they're wealthy. Bible made it clear, God doesn't want you to be poor. Poor people can't build the kingdom of God. You need money to build this kind of churches. Now, but if he says, this is my plan for your life, and you tell him to mind his own business, he will appeal to you. So don't do it this way, my son, my daughter. I love you. Before you were born, I had great plans for your life. I want to be your friend. I want us to work together. And you tell him, I say, mind your own business, Abby. Who told you I need your help? If he appeals and appeals and you fail to yield to his appeal, he will tear the plan. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 30. The Bible says, God said to Eli, he said, I said indeed, I'm the one who said so. I didn't send a prophet. He said, I said indeed that you and your father's house shall stand before me forever. He said, but now I say, be it far from me. He said, because those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be slightly esteemed. In other words, he said, I have this good plan for your life, but because you refuse to allow me to walk according to my plan, he said, I tear it. I told a story somewhere this morning, and I'm going to tell you here too. And with that, we will close and then we will pray. I was a lecturer at the University of Lagos. And I sat down at my table about to write a mathematical paper. I had already spelled out the problem I wanted to solve. I've already written what method I'm going to use to solve the problem. When all of a sudden I heard God say, son, I want you to write to Chief So-so-so. Write to him. Tell him I love him. Tell him I want him to be with me in my kingdom. I say, yes, Lord. Tell him that if he wants to hear more about the way of salvation, he should send for you. I quickly wrote. It was after I finished writing that I said, Lord, this chief you are talking about, I don't even know his address. How am I going to get this letter to him? And then he said, oh, that's no problem. Just write Chief So-so-so. Chief So-so-so's house. So-so-so town.
Hello, you say so. So I addressed the envelope like that. And I sent it to the post office. I mean, you yourself know Nigeria very well. Even if you write the address correctly, it will be a miracle if the letter arrived. 3 days later, somebody came, knocked at my office, and it was the driver of this chief. and said, she's so got your letter. Because I wrote there, I said, if you think this letter is from a hungry prophet, tear it. But if you believe God is the one who sent this message to you, send for me. The driver said, Jesus also got your letter. I said, the letter I posted 3 days ago. And this God must be a miracle working God. And the chief said, please don't call. I will call myself. By 12 noon tomorrow, I will be here. 12 noon the following day, he came. And I explained to him, this is a great love, sir. God sought you out. I didn't know you. You didn't know me. He said, I should write to you. And I told him, give your life to Jesus Christ because of this great love of God. I spoke. After I finished speaking, I said, will you now please give your life to Jesus? He said, let me think about it.
You're watching Redemption Way. There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. I tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
Is going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46 Lagos Ibadan Expressway from 6:30 p.m. to dawn. You're watching Redemption Way.
For 2 years, every two weeks, I will go and visit this chief. Sir, have you thought about this thing? It's time to decide for Jesus Christ. Don't delay any further. My friend, let's think about it. And he will call me his friend. In fact, as soon as I arrive at his place, he will take me to his bedroom so that we can talk without any disturbance. But will you decide? Will say, I will think about it. After 2 years, he had a stroke. A massive stroke that knocked him out completely. He became unconscious. But before he lapsed into unconsciousness, he told the people around, please send for Pastor Adeboye. Send for Pastor Adeboye. So they sent for me. When I got there, I said, Lord, please give him just one more chance. Because he was in a coma. He didn't know what was going on. Please, Lord, let him come back. Let me give him another opportunity to decide for you. Within 1 hour, he was completely well. Within an hour, he was back here. There was no sign of everything back to normal. So I said, God, thank you. So I said to Chief,
I believe this is your last chance. Will you give your life to Jesus now? He said, I will think about it. The next time I heard about him, he was dead. God is a builder. And he's an architect. He wants to build you. He has a good plan for your life. But if you like, you can force him to tear it up. If you refuse to yield to him. That's why before the final prayers, and then we continue with the dedication ceremony, I want to say to anybody here who has not yet surrendered his or her life to Jesus, on this very special day, do so now. I'm going to count from 1 to 5. If you have not yet given your life to Jesus and you want to do so, come and stand before me before I say 5. The choice is yours. You can tell God to mind his own business, you will mind your own. No problem. But on the day of judgment, he will show you the video of today. He will say, I gave you every opportunity to decide. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, begin to come now. And I'm counting. 1, 2. The choice is yours. Nobody is forcing you. If you don't want to come, don't come. Sit down there. The Almighty God will say, I've told you everything anybody could tell you. It is your choice. 3. The rest of us, let's clap for Jesus, for those who are coming. Let's rejoice. Let's rejoice.
Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? He's been knocking very long. He's been knocking for so long. Can you hear him knocking? Can you hear him knocking? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He's at the door.
Ask him to be merciful unto you. Ask him to forgive all your sins. Tell him it is his plan for your life that you want. That you will do his will from now on. Ask him to please just have mercy on you. And the rest of us, please stretch your hand towards these people and pray for them. That the one who saved your own soul will save their souls also. Intercede for them, brethren. Pray that the Almighty God will forgive them, that he will cleanse them in his blood. That from today onward, things will change and become brand new for them. Pray for them for another 1 minute. And if there's anyone who still needs to come, you can still come before I pray now. This is your own day of salvation. Don't miss this opportunity. Don't miss this opportunity. Let's pray for another 30 seconds and then I will round up. Lord, have mercy. Call on him. Have mercy on me, O Lord. If you want to come, you can still come. Pray that the Almighty God will save the souls of these people, to cleanse them in his blood, and make them brand new children of the Most High God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Eternal Rock of Ages, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these people who have come forward. Thank you because you promised that whosoever will come unto you, you will nowise cast out. They have come to you now, Father. Please receive them in Jesus' name. Be merciful unto them in Jesus' name. That power that is in your blood, let it wipe away all their sins in Jesus' name. Save their souls today and write their names in the book of life. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that beginning from now, anytime they call on you, you will answer them. And your plan for their lives, Father, let it be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm about to ask the Almighty God to do something very special in your life. I've already said that any prayer you pray here today will become a testimony. So I will pray for you. I will open the door of heaven for you in the mighty name of Jesus. And then it will be your turn to pray, to ask God for whatever you want. So can we please stand? If you believe that God is going to answer your prayers today, let me hear you shout hallelujah. My Father and my God, I come before you today as your servant, your son. I come before you because you promised me that wherever I go, you will go with me. And I'm coming to you on behalf of all your children who are here today. Because they have come for this dedication, Lord. A dedication miracle. Give to them in Jesus' name. A miracle so big that they will never forget today. Father, release to them in Jesus' name.
You're watching Redemption Way.
Going to surprise someone here tonight.
Join Pastor E.A. Adeboye and other men of God every first Friday of the month as they lead multitudes of worshippers to the presence of God in the monthly Holy Ghost service at the Redemption Camp, Kilometer 46, Lagos Ibadan Expressway, from 6:30 p.m. to dawn.
Shout hallelujah.
And I welcome you specially to the Open Heavens International Center. Tell you that I had several encounters with God in that house.
Let somebody shout
the anointing in that house is awesome.
Let somebody shout hallelujah. Let somebody shout hallelujah.
There is a Redeemed Christian Church of God very close to you. Join them for a life-changing experience in worship. Join us on this same station at this time next week for another wonderful experience as Pastor E.A. Adeboye exposes the deep mysteries in the Word of God.